In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shopping.
Love has long been one of the favorite subjects of poets and songwriters. Love is the chosen theme of numerous authors, and love is the subject often of philosophical discussions. But despite all the discussions that exist out there, all the data that is available on the subject of love, it seems that we human beings still are quite confused about this subject altogether. I think one of the main reasons we remain confused about the subject of love is because we continue to approach it from a merely human perspective. We fail to understand that human love needs to be infused with divine love for it to really work. Even our language can be confusing. We say things like, "I love chocolate ice cream." And obviously, when we make such statements, we're not equating that with the kind of love that we have for people. In fact, we don't really mean love at all. We mean we prefer, or it's our favorite, or something to that effect. But even the word love, there are different kinds of love. Love that we have from one person to the next can be quite different. There's a romantic kind of love, there's a family love, there's a friendship love. But we always have to understand that there is this other reality of God's love, divine love, agape love, that transcends all human love. We learn from the Apostle John that God himself is love. God has, in fact, always existed in a state of love. It is who he is. And we recognize, theologically speaking, if we go back before creation, back into a time of eternity, which is an irony in and of itself, the time and eternity don't go together. Time is creation. Eternity is outside of the reality of time that we know. But if we can, humanly speaking, we can think of it in no other way. If we go back to a time where, in eternity, in which all that exists is God, in that state of the Holy Trinity, there exists a community of love. And it's from that state of love, this communion of love that the persons of the Trinity share, it's from that place of love that God created. He engages his creation to bestow his love on creation and mankind in particular. God simply loves his creation, and he seeks to share his love with his creation, and he does so without boundaries, without distinction. Love is who God is. And it is that same divine love which God ultimately shares with each one of us. When we receive that divine love of God, it is to act in us in the same manner as God's love acts as it's supposed to towards us. In fact, we are supposed to become a channel of his love. And divine love isn't supposed to act the way human love acts. It doesn't act according to the rules of human love or what the expected behavior of human love is. We receive divine love and we respond to it, and ultimately, it is something that we give away. Divine love is something we give back to God. Divine love is something that we give to others as well, and we're to operate in the same way that God does, without distinction, without specifying who it goes to and who it does not go to. When divine love is truly at work in us, it operates without boundaries, without distinctions. Because divine love cannot ultimately be compartmentalized. It's not possible to give divine love, true divine love, to one and not somebody else. I'll give divine love to this person over here, but I'm not going to give divine love to that person over there, because that's not how divine love works at all. It cannot be packaged in such a formula, and we have violated it simply by trying to approach it in that way. That's a human way of thinking. We cannot give divine love to some and not others. And we cannot even ultimately give divine love back to God and not to one of God's creation, to another human being. The love of God flows without distinction, back to God and back, and ultimately through us to humanity itself. For Christians, love is our greatest pursuit. Christ said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And he went on and said, and the second greatest commandment is just like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. But ultimately, when Jesus gives this instruction, because somebody comes to him and asks, commandments, what is the greatest of the commandments? And they are trying to pigeonhole him into a way of responding, and they expect him to respond according to one of the Ten Commandments, and he responds outside the box with his response. What Christ is doing here is not ultimately showing us that the love of God and the love of others are two separate acts or two separate pursuits. In fact, the love of God and the love of others is one seamless, continuous act of God's love at work in us. The Apostle John says it this way in his first epistle. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. What a strong statement to make. But the Apostle John knows all too well that if a person truly loves God, it is not possible to hate the brother. And if we are hating our brother, it shows that in fact we do not love God truly. And so that somebody that says, I love God and hates, is ultimately a liar. They don't love God at all. That this experience of loving God is a seamless connection with all of creation, that we enter into that reality of God's love that transcends the boundaries and the categories that we humans like to attach to things. The Apostle John goes on and says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother as well. You see, there's no distinction. There's no separation of love. The love of God and the love of others is a unified, seamless experience of our Christian life. And in the gospel text today, we hear the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep served Christ by serving other people, by serving the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the stranger, the imprisoned. Their love was not compartmentalized. Their love was one seamless, unified act. To love the person next to them or the person that they observe in need was as natural as it was to love God himself. But the goats, by contrast, they failed to serve others, and thus they ultimately failed to serve Christ. Perhaps they did think that they were serving Christ. Perhaps they were seeking to love God, but they failed to see the importance of serving those in need as an expression of that love of God. And so by ultimately succumbing to a human understanding of love, their love becomes divided and ineffective. They become cut off from divine love working in them and ultimately suffer the consequences of being condemned by Christ by not loving. See, the gospel text is showing us how God's love is supposed to reach from us to everyone. That there is not to be distinction. That love God's love doesn't enter a special place in our heart and not other places in our heart. Only this particular area. God's love is to enter all of us. And likewise, God's love is not to extend from us only to a particular person over here, but to everyone. The love of God is to fill us completely, and the love of God is to extend from us to everyone we meet without distinction. Remember, the goats in the parable were ultimately shocked. They were surprised. It should indicate to us that they are doing something. They had some spiritual orientation because they're shocked and surprised to hear the Lord's word that they had neglected him. They had overlooked the Lord, but they didn't tell. They were loving the Lord. But you see, their love had become selective. It had become cut off from divine love. And by being selective, it failed to be effective. You see, the love of God knows no such compartments or boundaries. The love of God simply enters our heart and is to flow out from us to everyone. And the sheep, by contrast to the goats, they understood something about love, that love was a unified action, and loving God meant loving others, and that there's not a distinction to be made in that. It is one seamless act of love. Loving God means that we love others without exception. It means that we love without putting love in its little compartments of how it's supposed to work. We just simply open our hearts to the love of God and allow God's love to flow through us. As we prepare for the Lenten journey, which is imminent and before us, we must remember that love is our goal. And to help us love, we are entering into this journey. It's a journey to help us achieve that Christian goal of love. We seek to a greater degree during this Lenten season to open ourselves up to the love of God. We seek to ponder the reality of his great love that is demonstrated on the cross. We seek to identify with God's love as we journey with Christ to the cross. We make the efforts of this Lenten journey to identify with Christ, to know Him, to love Him more fully. And as we make that effort on the Lenten journey, something happens. Our heart is softened and our heart is opened up, and we can receive the love of God deep in our hearts. That love that we receive in our hearts can then extend back to God and be given back to God in worship and adoration and praise of God. And it can likewise extend from us to those that are around us. We are equipped to love others by receiving the love of God. The love of God is poured out in our hearts, and we need to allow it to pour out from us to everyone that we meet. In the end, love doesn't need to be so confusing. Not if we turn to the source of love, God Himself, because God is love. And love really, truly makes sense when we're connected to divine love. That's when human love makes sense. God is love. He is the source of love. So let us open our hearts to Him. Let us open our hearts to His divine love. But let us recognize, like the sheep, that when we receive God's love, we have to give it back to Him. And like the sheep, we need to recognize that loving God is demonstrated in loving others as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.